Bow your hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace at this time. Almighty Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your heart, before your throne of grace. We thank you, Father, for the blessings of this Sabbath day, giving us the opportunity to come before you. We ask, Father, that our hearts would be supple and malleable before you, that you would be able to shape us, that you would be able to conform your people to your will, that we would be seeking your heart and your understanding of your word, Father, because truly we can take our own understanding, which we know is flawed. So we ask, Father, that you would direct us in your ways, that you would teach us your laws and your commandments. Help us, Father, to be more like Yahshua the Messiah, who knew your will in everything that he did. He did according to you and your honor and your glory. Help us, Father, to have that frame of mind to put you first in everything that we do, that we would have the relationship that Yahshua had with you. That's the relationship that we want. Help us, Father, to learn to be patient. Help us to learn to wait on you. Help us to be faithful in all things. Truly we know, Father, that we're living in the last days by the hysteria and the hype and the things that are going on and the people running to and fro. We ask, Father, that you would help us to maintain our faith, to be faithful in all things, to walk in the pathway and the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah, who did no sin. So, Father, we know that when we sin, his blood covers our sin because we've been baptized into his death. So help us, Father, overcome this life and Satan the devil as he presents himself to us. Forgive us for our sinful nature and any shortcomings that we have. We ask, Father, that you would heal those that have a petition before you on the prayer list, that you would do that which is right in your sight at all times. And that you would bless us as we seek to overcome this world and be a part of your kingdom, which is soon to come. In the name of Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. I've entitled this message, "The Sky is Falling." And "The Sky is Falling," I took from Chicken Little. I don't know about all the young people today. I don't know if you know the story of Chicken Little. So we're going to talk about Chicken Little today, okay? The story of Chicken Little. Chicken Little is a story for teaching courage. Don't be a Chicken Little. Don't be afraid. The sky is not falling. That's what they say here. But we know the sky is falling. Okay. You have seven characters in this story. You have a narrator. That'll be me. You have Chicken Little. You have Henny Penny, Ducky Lucky, Goosey Lucy, Turkey Lurkey, and the villain Foxy Loxy. Okay? Chicken Little was in the woods one day when an acorn fell on her head. Hit her on the head. It scared her so much that she trembled all over. She shook so hard, half her feathers fell out. Chicken Little said, "Help, help, the sky is falling. I have to go tell the king." So she ran in great fright to tell the king. Along the way, she met Henny Penny. Henny Penny said, "Where are you going, Chicken Little?" And Chicken Little said, "Oh, help, the sky is falling." And Henny Penny said, "How do you know?" Chicken Little said, "I saw it with my own eyes and heard it with my own ears, and part of it fell on my head." Henny Penny, "This is terrible, just terrible. We better hurry up." So they both ran away as fast as they could. Soon they met Ducky Lucky. Ducky Lucky said, "Where are you going, Chicken Little and Henny Penny?" Chicken Little and Henny Penny said, "The sky is falling." See, not just Chicken Little saying this, but Henny Penny too. Okay? "The sky is falling. We're going to tell the king." And Ducky Lucky said, "How do you know?" Chicken Little said, I saw it with my own eyes and heard it with my own ears, and part of it fell on my head. And Ducky Lucky said, oh, dear, we better run. Chicken Little said, we're running for our lives. But Goosey Lucy said, I'm sorry, I skipped Goosey. So they all ran down the road as fast as they could. Soon they met Goosey Lucy walking down the roadside. And Goosey Lucy said, hello there, where are you all going in such a hurry? And Chicken Little said, we're running for our lives. And Henny Penny said, the sky is falling. And Ducky Lucky said, and we're running to tell the king. Chicken Little said, and Goosey Lucy said, how do you know the sky is falling? Chicken Little said, I saw it with my own eyes and heard it with my own ears, and a part of it fell on my head. Goosey Lucy said, goodness, then I'd better run with you. And they all ran in a great fright across the field. Before long, they met Turkey Lurkey strutting back and forth. Turkey Lurkey, hello there, Chicken Little, Henny Penny, Ducky Lucky, and Goosey Lucy. Where are you all going in such a hurry? Chicken Little said, help, help. Ducky, Henny Penny said, we're running for our lives. Ducky Lucky said, the sky is falling. And Goosey Lucy said, we're running to tell the king. Turkey Lurkey said, how do you know the sky is falling? Chicken Little said, I saw it with my own eyes and heard it with my own ears, and part of it fell on my head. Turkey Lurkey said, oh, dear, I've always suspected the sky would fall someday. I better run with you. So they ran with all their might until they met Foxy Loxy. Foxy Loxy is the villain, you know. He's the bad one. Foxy Loxy says, well, well, where are you all rushing on such a fine day? Chicken Little, Henny Penny, Ducky Lucky, Goosey Lucy, Turkey Lurkey, together said, help, help, it's not a fine day at all. The sky is falling and we're running to tell the king. And Foxy Loxy said, how do you know the sky is falling? Chicken Little says, I saw it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. And part of it fell on my head. I see, said Foxy Loxy. Well, then follow me and I'll show you the way to the king. So Foxy Loxy led Chicken Little, Henny Penny, Ducky Lucky, Goosey Lucy, and Turkey Lurkey across a field and through the woods. He led them straight to his den. And they never saw the king to tell him that the sky was falling. See, Foxy Loxy had a great meal. Because mass hysteria. In Isaiah chapter 10, we're going to start there. Isaiah chapter 10. We're going to find in the scriptures our own Chicken Little, only it's a little different, Isaiah chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 5. It says, ho, Assyrian, the rod of my anger, the staff in whose hand is my indignation. I will send him against the profane nation and against the people of my wrath. Will I give him charge, a charge, to take the plunder and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. However, he means not so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. For he says, are not my princes, all of them, kings? Is not Calno as Carchemish? Is not Hamath as Arpad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? As my hand has found the kingdoms of idols, whose carved images did excel, them of Jerusalem and of Samaria? Shall I not, as I have done to Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? Okay. Jonah. The book of Jonah. We're reading about Jonah, which means a dove. Another bird. See? Another bird. Even though doves are harmless. Okay. But you think about the fox. Foxy Loxy. Wouldn't he want this dove? Jonah. And Foxy Loxy represents Satan the devil. That's, we're going to transfer this to the spiritual realm. Okay. In verse 1, it says, "Now the word of Yahweh came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he pivoted and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh." Now, this is one of the things. If Yahweh gives us a command, which he has, he told us in Matthew 28:16-20, go ye into all the world, okay, and teach and preach. And we're supposed to be showing the people of this world Yahweh's covenant, the relationship that he has with us. We're supposed to be an example to the people of the world. But what Jonah did is he fled. He fled away from the presence of Yahweh, thinking that he could get away. In verse 4 it says, "But Yahweh sent out a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and they cried, every man to his mighty one, and they cast forth their wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah had gone down into the innermost part of parts of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said, what is it to you, O sleeper? Arise, call on your mighty one, your Elohim. If so be that Elohim will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lot, and lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, tell us, we pray, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is your occupation, and from where do you come? What is your country, and of what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear Yahweh. The Elohim of heaven, who has made the sea and the dry land. So he made a distinction between the people of the world, letting them know that Yahweh is the true mighty one, okay? Then the men were very afraid and said to him, what is it this you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of Yahweh, which is something we can't do, brother. Once we've come to that knowledge, we're there. You know, Yahweh has called us for his purpose. See? We're there. We can't flee. We can't go anywhere because we know too much. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm to us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm to you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get them back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried to Yahweh and said, we plead you, O Yahweh, we plead you, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for you, O Yahweh, have done as it pleased you. And Yahweh truly has. In each and every one of our lives, brethren, Yahweh has done what he has pleased. But you know what? He wants us to show that we are faithful to him, that we're going to go to the end. We're going to overcome whatever obstacles that are before us. And we're going to wait patiently for him, see. We're not going to run ahead of him. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. Then, and the sea ceased from its raging. Immediately, the sea stopped. So the men were, they were feared Yahweh greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to Yahweh and made vows. They made vows because now they know, we got the right one. This is the true mighty one, see, because they see the evidence of it. They threw him overboard, and the sea stopped its raging, okay? It got calm. But then they made vows, and we all make vows, don't we? We make a vow at baptism to be faithful to the end, to serve Yahweh. See, even if the sky is falling about us, we have to be patient and wait on Yahweh because he is our protection. He's the one that's going to give us what we need. If all we got to do is be faithful, we can't be like Chicken Little. You know, we can't drop our crowns, brethren. We have to be faithful in everything that we do. Yahweh, who is the living mighty one, used the Assyrians. He was sending Jonah to the Assyrians. Okay? Jonah knew the outcome. Okay? So he was a little upset. But we'll get to that. And Yahweh prepared a great fish, a dog gadol, to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, and Jonah prayed to Yahweh, his Elohim, out of the fish's belly. And he said, I call by reason of my affliction to Yahweh, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the depths, in the heart of the sea, and the flood was all around me, and all your waves and your billows passed over me. And I said, I am cast out from before your eyes, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. So he knew that he was going to be saved out of the belly of the great fish. But you know what? Jonah put himself in that position by getting on that ship. See? Jonah could have done what he was told and went right to Nineveh. But he didn't. And too often, we're just like that. We go in the opposite direction of where Yahweh's sending us. Okay? But what we have to understand, okay, is that Yahweh's in control. He's the one that's going to direct our path and turn us around. The waters, in verse 5, compassed me about, even to the soul. The deep was all around me. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed upon me forever. Yet have you brought up my life from the pit, O Yahweh, my Elohim. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered Yahweh, and my prayer came into you. Into your holy temple. They that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of Yahweh. And Yahweh spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Can the fish hear Yahweh? Absolutely. Just like Chicken Little, Ducky Lucky, Loosey Goosey, Turkey Lurkey. All of them. Yahweh has control, even though he's given us dominion over all of these animals and the dominion of this land, this earth. But you think about it. Yahweh can communicate with all of the animals. So he had this great fish spit out Jonah on dry land. And guess where he was? Where he was supposed to be. See? But we're going to go to Psalm 66, Psalm 66, 13. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay my vows. We have vows that we have to pay to Almighty Yahweh. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. It says, when you vow a vow to Elohim, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which you vow. Better is it that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. Suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, neither say before the angel that it was an error. Why should Elohim be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams there are vanities, but in many words, but fear Elohim. And we hear this all the time. Oh, I had this dream telling me to do thus and so. Okay? But what the dream was telling you to do, is it contrary to the word of Yahweh? If it violates the word of Yahweh, it's not of Yahweh. See, Yahweh is going to give you something that's going to come to pass. He says, the prophet, what he prophesied, if it doesn't come to pass, that prophet's not of me. And see, too often people have an itching ear. They want to hear the latest thing. Oh, man, this is what's going on. This sounds good. But is it of Yahweh? See? We've dealt with a lot of these things that are coming through as, hype and fads. But Yahweh wants his people to be faithful. It says in Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever puts his trust in Yahweh shall be safe. See, Yahweh is a true king. If Chicken Little just would have went to Yahweh and says, is the sky falling? Yahweh could have talked to Chicken Little like he talked to the fish. See, and let Chicken Little know, no, that was just an acorn falling, gravity, But, like I said, every story has a moral and has a purpose. Six. Okay, back to Jonah, chapter 3. And the word of Yahweh came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the preaching that I bid you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of Yahweh. Now Nineveh was a very great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and yet said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. This is our Chicken Little. Jonah, okay? 40 days, yet Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, Nineveh, if you know anything about the Assyrians, and this is something from history, at this time, the Assyrians were a great warmongering people. They were fierce. See, when Yahweh delivered Israel out of Egyptian bondage, Egypt was the number one nation in the world. Assyria was the number one nation at this time, okay? They were conquering, taking people from different cities, relocating them. So Yahweh was sicking the Assyrians, as I said in Isaiah, the rod of his anger. He was using this government. Yahweh's in control, brethren. Most people don't understand that. He sets people up like he did with Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, which was the greatest kingdom at that time. He sets these kingdoms up and he tears them down if they don't do his bidding. And we're going to see this a little further as we go into the word. In verse 5 it says, and the people of Nineveh believed Elohim. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, which would be the king, even to the least of them. And the tidings reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. He repented just like everybody else. And he made a proclamation and published to Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let them be covered with sackcloth. both man and beast, and let them cry mightily to Elohim, to Yahweh. See? They made a change from the idols that they were worshiping to Yahweh. Yes, let them turn everyone from his evil way. See, because now we got to keep the commandments. If they're seeking Yahweh, they want the blessing. They don't want to be destroyed. They believed Jonah. And from the violence that is in his hands, who knows whether Elohim will not turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not. And Elohim saw their works and that they turned from their evil way, and Elohim repented of the evil which he said he would do to them, and he did it not. So Yahweh changed his heart against the Assyrians. And you know why? He used these Assyrians to go and get Israel, the 10 northern tribes, who were worshiping idols, which I read in Isaiah chapter 10:5. See, because the Assyrians knew that that was their job, Yahweh wanted them to do, and they went and did it. See, they did what Yahweh asked them to do, and that's what we have to do, brethren. We have to be faithful and do what Yahweh tells us to do, not run. The sky is falling, the sky is falling, and run over to Foxy Loxy. See, we can't get into the Chicken Little syndrome. And too often this is what happens with people who are not grounded in the scriptures. You know, a lot of these doctrines are cyclical. They come around. They've been around. They come around every so many years, and they catch some people who, you know, may have missed it the first time. Oh, okay. And then they start going off on a tangent. See? Now, this is the kicker here. All right? Chapter 4, it says, but it displeased Jonah greatly, and he was angry. And he prayed to Yahweh and said, I pray you, O Yahweh, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I hurried to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are gracious. A gracious El and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and you repent of the evil. Therefore now, O Yahweh, take, I plead you, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And Yahweh said, is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made for himself a booth and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. Now, he wasn't really that concerned about Nineveh, you know, because we'll get into this, but Yahweh is concerned about the Ninevites, the Assyrians, okay? Jonah wasn't concerned about them. You know who Jonah was concerned about? Jonah, okay? And his people, because Jonah was from Israel, and that's who the Assyrians were going to go and be the rod of Yahweh's anger. They were going to pay. And that's why he was angry, because he knew what was going to come upon his people. Instead of his people repenting, which they didn't do, they ended up going into captivity. In verse 6 it says, and Yahweh prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to deliver him from his evil case. So Jonah was very glad because of the gourd. But Elohim prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it struck the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun arose, and Elohim prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And Elohim said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry over for the gourd? And he said, it is right to be angry, even to death. And Yahweh said, you have regard for the gourd, for which you have not labored. Neither made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And it should not I have regard for Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? So Yahweh was trying to teach Jonah a lesson, because Jonah was more concerned about a gourd than about people. And see, that's where we are, brethren. We have to be concerned about those people out there who have not heard, who don't know Yahweh. See? This is why we have this purpose, that this calling, so that we can get out there and do the work of Yahweh and teach these people. And Jonah, like I said, got upset. But the key is, do not drop your crown. Do not lose your salvation by following the latest hype that comes along. Open your eyes and trust Yahweh, who reveals the truth to his saints and keeps us on a straight and narrow path. Our challenge is to love our neighbor, not just the one that's nice to you. You got to love the other one too. See? And that's why it becomes so difficult for a lot of people. They get upset because they know they have to overcome that to be Yahweh's people. You know, you can say, I keep all the covenant, I do this, I keep the Sabbath, I eat the clean foods, but I hate my neighbor. You're not going to make it. You got to do the whole ball of wax, everything. See? You can't have this Chicken Little syndrome. The sky is falling, brethren. But what are you going to do? Are you going to be prepared when it truly comes down? Or are you going to trust in Yahweh and wait on him, because he's the one that's going to provide our salvation, our hiding place? We're going to be under his tabernacle. We're going to be protected by him. See? Jonah finally did what Yahweh required of him, but he became jealous for his, I have Jewish people, but for Israel, the 10 northern tribes, for his people. But Yahweh was jealous for all his people, not just the Jews. He was concerned with the Assyrians as well. See? And he used them, just like he used the Babylonians. Because what happened? Israel went into Assyrian captivity. The Jews, the southern tribes, ended up going into Babylonian captivity. Israel went into captivity for a lot longer. As a matter of fact, they're just starting to come out. And that's why our job is not yet done. Our work is not yet finished, because they went into captivity for 490 years times seven. You know, Leviticus 26 says it was multiplied by seven because of their sin. Whereas though the Jews went in for 70 years. And then what happened? Yahweh raised up and anointed Cyrus, who was the child of a Jewish mother, Esther. Okay? Yahweh knows what he's doing, brethren. He has all of his I's dotted, his T's crossed. He knows what he's doing. These same Israelites that went into captivity in Assyria, they were placed in the cities of the Medes and the Persians. So who were the Israelites? They were the ones that released the Jews. You understand what I'm saying? Yahweh has his hand in this all the way through. All we have to do is be faithful. All we have to do is trust him. We can't be like Chicken Little. The sky is falling. So what are you going to do about it? We're going to trust in Yahweh, right? We're not going to run around and tell Ducky Lucky and Goosey Lucy and Turkey Lurkey and get them all hyped up to run hither and yon and end up falling, you know, because that's what happens. Satan knows. That's what his plan is, to get you riled up. Get you excited. Turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 37. You can read, you know, read the whole chapter later at your leisure, but we're going to start in verse 37. It says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Yahshua stood and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Yahshua was not yet glorified. Some of the multitude, therefore, when they heard these words, said, "This is of a truth the prophet." Others said, "This is the Messiah." But some said, "What? Does the Messiah come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Messiah comes of the seed of David and from Bethlehem?" Yes, that's what the scriptures say. And he did. But does it mean he couldn't come from Galilee as well? Because he moved. You know, we can do that. We can relocate. Yahweh places us where he wants us for his purpose. You know, too often, you know, people are limited. And I'm talking about people who are supposedly scripturally in depth. These are the leaders of Israel who are saying this. So we're going to continue. It says, "Has not the scripture said that the Messiah comes from the seed of David, from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So there arose a division in the multitude because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. The officers therefore came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to them, 'Why did you not bring him?' The officers answered, 'A man never spoke in this manner.'" He just blew us away. I mean, it was just like powerful. He spoke, and I mean, we just listened because he had the spirit of Yahweh. You understand? He was speaking from Yahweh. "The Pharisees therefore answered, 'Are you also led astray here? Any of the rulers believed on him? Have any of the rulers believed on him or out of the Pharisees? But the multitude that knows not the law are cursed.'" See? You people don't have the knowledge we have. You're cursed. "Nicodemus says to them, 'He that came to him before, being one of them that came to Yahshua by night, does our law judge a man except it first hear from himself and knows what he does?' They answered and said to him, 'Are you also of Galilee? Search and see that out of Galilee is no prophet.'" That's a lie. And this is the leaders of Israel telling a lie. There were a couple prophets. Jonah was one of them. Nahum was the other that came from Galilee. Isaiah chapter 37. "And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of Yahweh. And he set Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe and the elders of the priests, and covered with sackcloth." He did the same thing that the Assyrians did, you know, because he realized he had to humble himself. "To Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said to him, 'In this manner says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of contumely. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be Yahweh Elohim will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to defy the living Elohim, and will rebuke the words, and will rebuke the words which Yahweh Elohim has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left." See, because they already took the 10 northern tribes. Now they're trying to take us. See? But Yahweh already said earlier in Isaiah, in chapter 10, that it wasn't going to happen. He's already prophesied that it's not going to happen. They had to believe. They had to have faith. Verse 5, "So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, 'In this manner shall you say to your master, in this manner says Yahweh, be not afraid of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him, and he shall hear tidings, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land, by his own family, his own children. Verse 8, so Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he had departed from Lachish, and he heard say concerning Tirhakah, the king of Ethiopia, he has come out to fight against you. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, in this manner shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not your Elohim in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shall you be delivered? Have the Elohim of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, Gozan and Haran and Reseph, and the children of Eden that were in Telassar, where the king of Hamath and the king of Arphas and the king of the city of Sepharim and Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of Yahweh and spread it before Yahweh. And Hezekiah prayed to Yahweh, saying, O Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, that sits above the cherubim, you are the Elohim, even you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Yahweh, and hear. Open your eyes, O Yahweh, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, who has sent to defy the living Elohim. See, this is what we have to keep in mind, brethren. Yahweh is our living Elohim. He's the only one that is living. The rest of them are idols. See? And when the king of Assyria said this, he should have known that the people that he was able to destroy worshiped idols. And the reason he was allowed to take Israel into captivity because they were in the idolatry, in the idol worship. Verse 18, it says, of a truth, Yahweh, the kings of Assyria, have laid waste all the countries and their land, and have cast their Elohim into the fire. For they were no Elohim, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Yahweh, our Elohim, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are Yahweh, even you only. And truly, this is what Yahweh did. We're going to just fast forward over to verse 33. It says, therefore, thus says Yahweh concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come to this city, nor shoot an arrow there, neither shall he come before it with shield, nor cast up mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return. And he shall not come to this city, says Yahweh, for I will defend this city to save it. For my own sake and for my servant David's sake. See, Yahweh is responsible. He cares for his people. In verse 36, and the angel of Yahweh went forth and struck the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the men arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his Elohim, that Adramelech and Shadrezah, his sons, struck him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Arad. And Esrodan, his son, reigned in his place. So Yahweh's prophecy came to pass. See, and that's all we have to do, brethren. We have to be faithful. We have to believe in Yahweh. We have to believe in his prophets. And we have to do his will. 2 Kings chapter 14. Verse 23 and to 25. It says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria and reigned 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel to sin, which was the golden calf, or, you know, they were worshiping this idol worship. He restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the sea of the Arba, according to the word of Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was of Gath-Hepher. Now, Gath-Hepher was a city in Galilee. So we see, again, that those leaders of Israel lied. Okay? They lied when they say no prophet comes from Galilee. And you can count Yahshua as one that came from Galilee, too, even though he was born in Bethlehem. He was raised in Nazareth, which is also in Galilee. So we have to understand that Yahweh is the one that gives us and is our Savior, and through his son, Yahshua. Like I said, Nahum was an Elkoshite, was also from Galilee. Remember, brethren, the sky is falling, okay? It is. So we have to be prepared, but we have to trust in Yahweh, because he's going to save us, you know, as the sky is falling, because he's going to give us protection. Do not fall into that Chicken Little syndrome, because you can lead others astray who are not as grounded in the word as they should be. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. But the Spirit says expressly, in latter times, as some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own consciences as with a hot iron. We saw that the Pharisees were speaking lies when they said no prophet comes out of Galilee. The scriptures prove different. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Peter 2, 13. It says, be subject to every ordinance of man for Yahweh's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as sent by him for vengeance on evildoers and for praise to them that do well. For so is the will of Yahweh. Now, he's telling us to observe the laws of the land as well. As long as they don't violate Yahweh's law, we got to keep the law. You know, the speed limit, 55, we should drive 55, they'll give you 5. You got to slow down. You know, I mean, I've been guilty, trust me. I've got a speeding ticket in the past. But, huh? What? I got a couple speeding tickets in the past. Yeah, I did one at a time. But, you know, it's been a long time. I haven't had a speeding ticket for a very long time. Very long time. Yeah, I know. It says that by well-doing you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, not using your freedom for a cloak of maliciousness, but as bondservants of Yahweh. When somebody come to you with some, you know, new doctrine or whatever, or something that you think is new or whatever, or think something you should consider, look at the whole picture. Is it going to take you away from the law of Yahweh? Is it going to, you know, are you serving him greater or less? I mean, there's a purpose for that. When Satan throws something at you, it's a curveball. It's something there behind it. He's trying to pull you away. He's trying to take you away from Yahweh. It says, but be bondservants of Yahweh. Honor all men, love the brotherhood. Fear Yahweh, honor the king. Servants, be in subjection to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. If you got a boss that is not the most pleasant, he's still your boss. You still do what you got to do. Because you know what? You may be the one that turns him around. He may be the one that Yahweh wants you to save. See? For this is acceptable. If for conscience toward Yahweh a man endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when you sin you are buffeted? You shall take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer, you shall take it patiently. This is acceptable with Yahweh. For to this were you called, because the Messiah also suffered for you. He did no sin, but he suffered for each one of us, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree. He took the curse upon himself for us, brethren, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. And I'm telling you, Yahweh truly, through just that, Yahshua the Messiah, has given us the opportunity at life everlasting. It's not something that any one of us has done. We have that Chicken Little syndrome to an extent, because you think about it, you know, we think we are a little bit more perfect than the next man, you know, because we have knowledge. You know, Yahweh has revealed so much to us. But that's where that humility comes in. You have to be humble, because if you're not humble, you'll be taken away. See? And that's what happened to Sennacherib. Yahweh gave him the green light. You know, we were to take Israel. We took him. He didn't tell him, you can take Judah. You understand? See, he got greedy. You know, oh, we're conquering the whole world. We might as well take Judah too. But Judah was Yahweh's people as well. What happened? He said no. And he destroyed Sennacherib. He raises these leaders up, he'll take them down. But we still have to be subject to wherever we live and the leadership. He tells us to pray for our leaders. We prayed for Bush. Why not Obama? You understand? We're supposed to pray for the leaders. You know? You think about it. I don't care what country you live in, even over in Kenya, they're praying for the leaders. They might be as corrupt as can be, but they're praying for the leaders, because that's what Yahweh tells us we need to do. See? He's the one that places these people in control. But just like during Esther, Jew, yeah, Ahasuerus, they were Israelites. They didn't know it because they stopped keeping the Sabbath. They just thought they were Gentiles like the rest, right? They were placed there in those cities by the Assyrians. They lost their nationality, where they came from. Same like the Danites. The Danites became your Greeks, okay? You know, Yahweh, if you look back in the in Deuteronomy and Genesis and the blessings of Jacob and the blessings that Moses read on the children of Israel, they were going inhabiting a lot of different places. They were going to be in control of the gate of the enemies, Spain and Portugal, right there, you know, controlling that gate that goes out into the Atlantic Ocean from the Mediterranean Sea. Yahweh gives those blessings to his people. They may have been physical, but we receive the spiritual blessings as well as physical. 2 Timothy chapter 3. As I bring this message to a close, I got a couple more scriptures, but I want to kind of get through them real quick. But remember, the sky is falling, okay? So we have to be prepared. We have to trust and understand that Yahweh, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, but know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come, for men shall be self-lovers, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now I'm telling you kids today, okay? Chicken Little is just a little story, but truly, you have to respect and listen to your parents. You have to do that, because if you don't, Yahweh is not going to bless you. You understand? You must follow and do what your parents tell you to do. It says, verse 3, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce. And self-control is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's given to you at baptism when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Fierce, no lover of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Yahweh, holding a form of righteousness but having denied the power of it. From these also turn away. For of these are they who creep into houses and take captive silly women burdened with sins, led away by diverse lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And even as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth. Men corrupted in mind, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be evident to all men, as theirs also came to be. But you did follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love. It's always there. That's a henchpin. That's a cornerstone. Love. Because if you can't love the people you see, how can you love Yahweh, who you don't see? That's in 1 John. See, we know this. Patience, persecution, suffering. What things befell me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra? What persecutions I endured, and out of them all Yahweh delivered me. Paul was delivered out of all of these persecutions. Yes, and all they that would live holy in the Messiah Yahshua shall suffer persecution. None of us are exempt. The sky is falling. We're going to get hit on the head, you know, sometimes. But Yahweh's going to give us the protection we need. But evil men and imposters shall become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But remain in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a babe you have known the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise to salvation. Well, that's what we want to be, brethren, wise to salvation, through faith which is in the Messiah Yahshua. Every scripture Yahweh breathed is also profitable for teaching, and for reproof, correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be complete, furnished completely to every good work. 2 Timothy 4, but just continue on verses 1 through 8, it says, I charge you in the sight of Yahweh and of the Messiah Yahshua, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be urgent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but have itching ears, will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away from their ears from the truth, and turn aside to fables. But you be sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I am already being offered, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. From here onward, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Master, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. We love the appearing of Yahshua the Messiah. That's what we're looking forward to. Don't worry about no stink bugs. For our closing scripture, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, now we entreat you, brethren, touching the coming of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, and our gathering together to him, to the end that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter as from us, as that the day of Yahweh is just at hand. Let no man beguile you in any wise, for except the falling away come first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, he that opposes and exalts himself against all that is called Elohim, or that is worship, so that he sits in the temple of Elohim, setting himself forth as Elohim. See, that's when the man of sin is revealed. We know when that happens, it's over. Don't you remember that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know that which restrains to the end that he may be revealed in his own season. For the mystery of lawlessness already works. Only there is one that restrains now until he be taken out of the way. Then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the sovereign Yahshua shall consume with the breath of his mouth and annihilate by the manifestation of his coming. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, and with all deceit and unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause Yahweh sends them a working of error, that they should believe a lie. Brethren, let's not believe the lies that are being told. Let's not believe the lies that Satan is trying to throw at us, that they might all be judged whom believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to Elohim always for you, brethren, beloved of the Master, for that Elohim chose you from the beginning to salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, to which he called you through our good tidings to the obtaining of the glory of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. So then, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by a letter of ours. Now our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah himself, and Yahweh our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. See, Satan wants to pull you away. And the reason he's trying to do it, because he has but a short time. And I mean short. See, we've been teaching this message on 144,000 this past year, the summer. They even taught a lot of it when I was in Africa, and they were very excited to hear it because they said they had never heard that before. But I'm going to tell you this. These children that are going into the kingdom for the thousand-year millennium, they're coming from all of these different cultures, countries, and they are not going to know the word of Yahweh. They need to be taught. And how are they going to be taught? They're going to be taught by the 144,000, those who Yahweh has prepared to be kings and priests in that thousand-year millennium. The rest of the dead live not until after the white throne judgment. And I'm talking the masses, okay? It's just these kids and 144,000. Only Yahshua and Caleb entered the promised land from Egypt. All of the ones that went in the promised land were uncircumcised. They were the kids. All of the adults died in their own sin in the wilderness. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen here on this earth just that same way. All the adults, unless you're a part of that 144,000, are going to perish. Now, does it mean you won't be in the kingdom if you're not a part of the 144,000? No. Because it says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 9, that a great multitude washed your blood, the robes white in the blood of the Lamb that came through the tribulation. So Yahweh is preparing the people, brethren. The question is, are you ready? You know, are you going to be Chicken Little? Or are you going to be one of Yahweh's servants that stands up and says, hey, I'm going to be faithful? Even Jonah, I don't know how much he repented, but he went through the ringer. He was our Chicken Little of the scriptures. But Jonah came around, but he realized, you know, he was worried about his people, and he should trust Yahweh. If he trusted Yahweh, he would not have to worry about what was going to happen to Israel. Israel was going to go into idolatry because of their own sin. We don't have a lot of time. You got to make your call and election sure, brethren. If you're not baptized, if you don't have Yahweh's Holy Spirit, that's something you need to look into. You need to get ready because the end is coming soon. Okay? And I'll end it there because Yahweh loves each and every one of you, and I thank everybody for coming out. And I'm going to ask Chris if you would mind coming and close with a word of prayer. I'm going to switch this over.
Father Yahweh, we come before you humbly, thanking you for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us as your people. We ask that those who are traveling, wherever they are, that you see their travels through safely. We ask that you bless each and every one of us with the wisdom of your knowledge and with the grace of your strength. We thank you for the technology that you gave us the wisdom to invent in order to be able to have this conference call. We thank you for the Sabbath day and just for this holy day of rest. Father Yahweh, we ask the blessing over these services and over your people. In your son Yahshua's name, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, for our closing song, if you would take your songbooks in hand, we're going to sing number 25. Praise awaits you in Zion.
Praise the way.